Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Secure Your Life. This is Diamond Taylor. We have a fabulous show for you. This is Mosaic Monday. This segment is all about various financial topics from A to Z, on-time solutions, real talk, giving you no-holds-bar advice and lessons on how to end your financial nightmare, where the audience asks the questions and we search for the solutions. It is all about the audience tonight. So I would like for you to sit back, relax, and participate in our show tonight. We have some really hot topics from our audience where we've gotten some great responses from emails from last week. And our subject for tonight is who is better at handling finances, men or women? Again, that is who is better at handling finances. Is it the men or would that be women that are better at handling finances? And then at the bottom of our hour, we're going to be talking about the political heat about whether or not the government should be subsidizing, which means footing up payment or fitting the bill, if you will, for Planned Parenthood or abortions, or should the government be subsidizing or fitting the bill for the penal system? So we got some really hot topics tonight, and if you'd like to join us, you can do so in our chat room where I will take your questions and or comments, or you can actually talk to us live and either answer the questions or have your question answered. If you have a question for us, the phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. But before we do anything, we must play our disclaimer. So we're going to do a little housekeeping, play our disclaimer, and I will meet you right back here for Secure Your Life. So just hold tight while we play our disclaimer.
it is time to do a little housekeeping and give you our disclaimer for Secure Your Life. The views and opinions expressed on the show may not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the host, the sponsors, this station, and that of Puricon Productions. The content and or information that is referenced and referred to on this program are intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. We encourage our listeners to seek direct consultation from a qualified, licensed, and certified professional. The purpose of this show is to provide an open forum where one is free to express his or her opinion. In a no-holds-barred discussion about money, personal finances, and business matters. Now, it is time for you to sit back and participate and enjoy the show. And once again, thank you for joining us for Secure Your Life.
All right, we are back. Yes, we are. And if you just joined us, you are listening to Secure Your Life. This is Mosaic Monday, and we're talking about some really hot topics. Our audience choice tonight, and our audience emailed us, and they wanted to know, who do we think is better at handling finances? Would that be the women, or would that be the man that is better at handling finances? That's what we're going to talk about at the top of the hour. Then as we move further on in the show, the next topic will be whether or not you agree or disagree with the government subsidizing or fitting the bill for pro-choice, or do you think the government should continue to subsidize or fit the bill for the penal system? So I'd like to hear from you. If you have your own question you'd like to have answered or posed to our audience, we'd like to hear that too. You can join me in the chat room where I can read your comment and or question over the air, or you can call me live at area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. And I'm going to start out the conversation and open up the phone lines. The question here is, one more time, is who do you think is better at handling finances? Would that be the men or would that be the women? So I'm going to start off with area code 312. How are you this evening? Let's see. I think we're having a little bit of a technical difficulty here. We will try that one more time. Just a second. Well, as I said, the question is, who do you think is better at handling finances? Would that be the men or the women? Now, according to the poll that we conducted earlier today, a lot of the men said that they thought that they were indeed better at handling finances than the women are. And I thought that was quite interesting because considering that there are more women who actually own their homes and who are actually taking care of more of family business or even personal business, if you will, that I would have thought that the poll would actually be done differently. But here again, like I said, this is your opinion, your choice, so we want to know from you. Who do you think actually handles finances better? Would that be the men or would that be the women? Let's try going to 815. Hello, how are you this evening? Okay, well, we're still having a little technical difficulty on our switchboard. We will try to get that rectified. There are plenty of polls here that's going on. If you'd like to join us in the chat room as well, you can do so by chatting with me, or you can actually tweet me at Twitter at Secure Your Life, or you can even go to our Facebook at Facebook at Secure Your Life or Twitter at Secure Your Life. Or you can join us live in the chat room, and I will be glad to take your opinion on whether or not you think who is better at handling the finances, whether that would be the women or would that be the men. So that is a quite interesting question that we have posed at this moment right now. Now, I'd like to ask you all a question. In my opinion, I believe that it doesn't really matter the gender as to who can handle the finances. I don't think gender has any merit here. I think that a lot of people have to really look at and be honest about what are they doing in their own personal finances, whether or not are you handling your bank account properly. Do you bounce checks or are you overextended in your credit? Those are some really good questions that a lot of people need to ask. So, and that is regardless of gender. So that's just my take on it. I'd like to definitely hear from you, and the phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. You can also join us in the chat room. We are having a little bit of technical difficulty. We are trying to rectify that, but we will keep the show moving on, as I had said before. Someone in the chat room just said that they believe that it's a sense of control, that why men think that they should be able to handle the finances. Someone else just said that, here again, gender doesn't matter. It depends on who actually can handle things better. And I have to agree with that. I really do. I think that gender does not make a difference in who actually can handle the finances. But here again, of course, we're dealing with people and their ego. It seems to me that there's a battle of the sexes going on, especially on Facebook. And I have a lot of people at this moment that are hammering over our question that we have right now. I'm going to go to area code 312, see if I can get you on the line. Okay, I don't know what's going on with our switchboard. We're having a bit of a time here. Okay, well, we'll just keep things moving and see if we can get our show going. Here again, like I said, there's another person in the chat room. They want to know, what does it matter on whether or not the person, if I make the money, I should be able to handle my own finances, and it doesn't, and no one else should be able to tell me what I can and cannot do. And if I want to use my credit card, wow, if I want to use my credit card any which way I want to, no one should be able to tell me that I can't. And if I'm overextended, then that's just my own business. Well, here, we're talking about finances here, and it's very interesting that you would take that position, considering that a lot of people are overextended. And if you think that that is wise, that is very interesting, because here again, once you overextend yourself, on your credit card or even on your bank account, you know, that is definitely going to catch up with you, and you will have some serious problems and repercussions as a result of that. So, okay, here we go. Area code 312, I think we'll be able to get you on the air. Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Oh, finally. Okay, we were having a bit of
a problem.
Yes. So,
yay.
The question here again, before you answer, let me give the question one more time. Who do you think is better at handling the finances? Would that be the men or would that be the women that are better at handling finances?
Both.
Okay, you say both. Please explain.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Especially if you're in a relationship, marriage, a significant other, other, or you are actually sharing a household with the opposite sex, and you have combined your, they say, your assets together, the wonderful thing about it is you both sides come with some knowledge, preferably, and some learning. And it's not about the fact of being me being right and you being wrong. If either one of us is right, we're all right. And so when you think of yourself as a couple, it's not just you and me, it's a we thing. And we need to change that thought processing. Individually, who's actually both? I mean, I've seen some men who could run around a check register in a heartbeat. And I've seen some that I wouldn't let them with a quarter without supervision, and vice versa. It's not a matter of gender. This is who does the job. I mean, you know, I deal with it by being a business owner. I deal with finances all day. That's the major part of my job besides getting contracts. So to tell you the truth, to be honest, when I go home, I really don't want to do the house over. Not saying I want to be taken out of the mix. It's just I don't want to be the one writing the check. I don't want to be, I want to keep track, but I don't want to do the detail work behind it. But we both sit down at the table and talk about it. And we go through the bills for it, like the moment of the month, depending on how we want to pay them. And go, okay, we're writing a check out for this. And we do that together. So whoever does the check writing, the other one does the stamps and put it in the mail or pays it online. So it's a joint thing. And actually, that's our time to kind of figure, okay, where are we at? Do we need to cut back some things? Do we need to trim some stuff? Oh, well, this fee came up, and, you know, against property taxes or whatever. So it's our time to kind of figure out where we are and without it creeping back on us negatively.
Well, you know what? I do understand that. Well, I'm going to add some other people to our conversation right now. And if you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. It is Mosaic Monday, and we're talking about various topics. And from A to Z, on-time solution is all about the audience, your choice. So if you like to join in the conversation that we're having right now, the question is, who is better at handling the finances? Would that be the men or would that be the women? If you'd like to answer that or you have your own opinion, we'd like to hear that. Or you can actually join us in the chat room, and I will take your comment and or question over the air. So I'm going to go to 815, and let's see if our phone line switchboard is working again. Okay, I don't know. We're having a bit of a problem here tonight. 815, are you there? Okay, well, I guess not. Well, let's see. Let's try that again. 815, are you there?
Yes. Hello?
Okay. I'm having a bit of a time here tonight with this phone.
Have you got me now?
I have you now. Could you turn down your computer or radio or whatever that is, because we're getting feedback.
Okay. Oh, it's still getting, wait a minute.
Push mute.
How does it sound now?
It sounds perfect. Now you're sounding crystal clear. Did you hear our question?
Oh, yes, I've got it. I don't think that gender matters. I don't think it's a gender question, to tell the truth. Some men do a better job of handling finances than women, and some women do a better job of it than men. As far as the number of who is ever doing it the better, I think the jury's out on that one.
Well, I would agree. Now, what would be your advice to the other person who actually was in the chat room, and they said that it doesn't matter, my money is my money, and if I want to overextend my credit card, I can.
Oh, well, okay. Well, this sounds like somebody that's off on her own and wants to be that way. And, hey, I hope she enjoys her life, because anybody that's with her has got a problem.
Well, I mean, especially a financial problem. I don't think that, especially in today's economy and job market, jobs are looking really funny right now. I don't think that that's a really wise thing.
Well, I think that's just the tip of the iceberg with her. That's just part of her attitude, her whole relationship attitude would be in the same vein. damn you, it's all me.
Well, you know, I would agree. What do you think about that, 312?
I agree with him. She's got a bad attitude to begin with, and right now it's selfish and it's all about you. Freezing to remotely make that statement, she needs to revisit how she's dealing with stuff personally. This is just not acceptable. I mean, anyone who gets involved with her, she has to understand that anytime you mail assets, when you marry, my credit becomes yours and yours becomes mine. And that's the reason why you need to talk about finances prior to marriage. I could love you to no end, but your credit could suck, and that's nice.
Yeah, well, if she's married, I hope the guy got a prenuptial agreement that says yours is yours and mine is mine.
Well, I don't even know if that the prenup covers that.
According I thought a prenup could cover anything that you wanted to put in there.
Well, actually, yeah, a prenup does cover whatever you want to put up in there, but there are some, once you start doing things jointly, then the other person's credit or lack thereof will affect you, or can affect you, I should say. So it depends on a lot of factors. And maybe we can get someone to actually answer that question. So if you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. This is Mosaic Monday, and we are talking about a variety of topics. And right now we're talking about who do you think is better at handling finances, whether that would be the men or women. One of the other callers just asked, in a marriage or prenuptial agreement, can you put in there that the person's financial situation prior to marriage, that they need to handle their own financial affairs? So in other words, what's yours prior to the marriage is yours, and what's mine is mine, whether that be your debt or your assets, your liabilities or your assets. You all handle those things separately, and then whatever is done after, or what we acquire jointly, then we will deal with those assets and liabilities thereof. So if you have an answer to that question, which I think is a very valid one, please give us a call at area code 347-884-9343. Don't forget to push the number 1 in the queue to let me know that you want to speak on the air live. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. And don't forget to push the number 1 so that I will know that you are definitely in the queue. Or you can join us in the chat room. I can take your comment and or question, or you can join us in Facebook. That's Facebook at Secure Your Life, or Twitter at Secure Your Life. And to keep things and the ball continuing to roll, like I said before, I agree that she definitely has some serious issues going on that goes way beyond what she's saying in regards to her credit cards and her bank account. She does have an attitude of what's hers is hers. But with that, because she's being financially reckless, she's going to find out, if not sooner or later, that her decisions today is going to affect her future for tomorrow. And if she's not planning very wisely, if she's overextending herself on credit, and if she's bouncing checks, that's not, if she is in a relationship or a marriage for that matter, I can understand why her significant other would definitely want to take over the finances, because she's being reckless.
I agree.
She's being seriously reckless, and that is going to hurt the both of them. It's seriously going to hurt the both of them. But, of course, she's not thinking about that. And, a lot of times, a lot of people are only thinking about themselves. But, here, I want to hear from you all. Do you have any other questions or comments? What are your comments on the issue of relationship and money, since we're on the topic? Who do you think, or should that be a topic? Should couples actually decide to talk about the finances in the relationship and how it affects them separately and apart? Is that a topic of conversation that is important that couples should talk about? Yes or no?
Yes, most definitely. After you know, after he says, "Will you marry me?" and you say yes, that's the next topic of conversation. Or maybe even before.
Okay, 815, what are your views on that? Should finances be a topic in the relationship, or, you know, is that important to talk about your personal finances or your at least thoughts about finances and money and your ideas and thoughts about money? Should couples discuss those things? Okay, I think we lost 815. Okay, let's go to 708-466. How are you? You're on the air. Hopefully I can get you on the air. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty in our switchboard this evening. Okay, I think we're having problems once again. But if you just joined us, you are listening to Secure Your Life. This is Mosaic Monday, and we're talking about a variety of financial topics from A to Z, real talk, so you can be honest. This is honest, no hold bar advice and lessons. It is all about the audience choice, so if you have the question, we will try to find the solution. And it is all about you on Mosaic Monday. And to keep this ball rolling, you can give us a call at area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. And, okay, 312, how did you handle the finances or the subject? How did it come up? Was it hard for you all to discuss that, or what, did it come easy? Or, what was the temperament?
It actually really wasn't that difficult to talk about it once we got to that stage and realized that we wanted permanency and we did want to share the rest of our lives together. We had already moved in with each other prior, so we were like really like a year. So while we were dating prior to that year, we had slowly started doing it in the first place without even realizing it. So once we truly sat down and said, okay, at that point in time, he was making more money than me by him being a surgeon for Loyola University. So, you know, naturally, and I was, you know, just out of college, a couple months graduated. So I had just started entering management. So it was more so me contributing to the household. But his viewpoint was real simple. My job is to pay the bills for the household, and yours is for us to invest, and that's what we did. So my paycheck was invested in hers. He has paid everything else, which is, again, what he's supposed to do. And it was never a case of my money and your money. It was a case of if we had to do something, or because we had a condominium, if something came up and we had to repair it, then the money that was saved was used for the repair. So we both
I had his back.
Yeah, I had his back, which was hilarious. Or if there was something that I wanted or we had discussed about and I had half of it, he'd have my back. So it was never a case of mine and yours. It was always a case of ours. And, you know, maybe we had a rare relationship. I hope not. It was very easy. I mean, there were some times when it came down to the assessments, because some of those assessments could get, whoo, and then you have some plumbing or something to fix, so you get nailed twice. So we didn't sweat because we had planned for that rainy day, because we knew it was coming. It was just a matter of when. And that it wasn't so much, that's why we didn't run into, I think, the atypical problems. It's because our bank accounts were open to each other. I mean, it wasn't mine, it wasn't yours. If I needed something, I had access to it. I mean, it wasn't a problem. So, no, it's how you start something is how it will continue. Be honest. I still am a firm believer that he should have your account, you should have yours, and then the joint.
still work the same way, but be honest. But always have that rainy day fund, whichever one of you is going to have it.
Okay, well, if you just joined us, I want to open up the phone lines once again. If you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. This is Mosaic Monday, and we're talking about a variety of topics. Having a little technical difficulty, but you can call in, and the phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that's area code 347-884-9343. We started off a question of who do you think handles the finances better, men or women? And then next, how important is bringing up finances in the relationship? Is this something that couples should really talk about? Or is that a difficult subject where, you know, that's like taboo and a no-no up until it's like you just have to? So I'm going to go to 708. How are you this evening? Okay, are you with me, 708-715? Hello?
Hey there, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Did you hear our question?
I did hear the question. I am in agreement with most people who say that I don't believe that there's anyone who does it better, any particular sex that does it better. But it is something that should be discussed if you're planning to have a long-term relationship. Otherwise, I don't believe it even has a place if you're not trying to have a long-term relationship.
Okay, well, that makes perfectly good sense. I can definitely understand that. As well, yeah, if you're planning on having a long-term relationship, then that person's attitude about money will affect you and vice versa. So that is definitely something that does need to be discussed. And even if you're not having a long-term relationship, it can be done in such a way where it's just generalized. You can ask a general question about their thoughts and views about money. At least that's the way I would do it. I would want to know, in general, what are their thoughts or how would they handle a particular situation, even if you give them a hypothetical. I think that that's a good idea, at least to get the conversation going. I'm going to add area code 773-988 to our conversation. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Did you hear our question?
Yes, I did. I heard the question, and I was just thinking that, that as you said, you know, I think even if you have to speak hypothetically to someone to find out where they're at in terms of dollars and cents, because people have to, I think they have to have, even if they don't have similar views, they have to have views that kind of mesh together. I mean, you know, a person can be just the opposite of you, and that could work as well. But I think that things need to be discussed. Unless, of course, you get into a relationship with someone who's already financially extremely well-established, you shouldn't expect to. I don't think a new spouse should expect to know all of the finances of someone who is very wealthy already. You may know some, but, I think it would take time before you could really need to get to know a person in some cases. Every set of cases are unique, you know, and I think you also have to apply those rules. That there's no really blanket set of rules, but and then for the most part, I think people should try to discuss things and understand what their spouses or the people that they're involved with want. In most cases, I think everything should be put on the table, but in some cases, I don't think it would be smart for some people to tell you if you're in a new relationship about all their finances, because now the relationship, the dynamics of the relationship changes at this point, because now you know that this guy or this girl has, you know, millions of dollars and you know, you're just not going nowhere regardless. So that's why I said circumstances change for people.
Well, yeah, I agree with that too, as well as with the other car. You do need to, I don't think first date, you can say, hey, I'm making, you know, six-figure salary. I don't think that that's inappropriate. I think that is definitely inappropriate. But you do need to at least find out somewhere along the line what their views are. Not even necessarily that it has to be a personal thing, but to hypothetically ask questions into, well, what do you think if a person was to overextend themselves, what are your views on that? Or how do you use credit? Not necessarily that it has to be a personalized question, but one of which, do you think it's a good idea for you to use, you know, for you to utilize at least 50% or 75% of your credit card in a given situation, even if it's not an emergency?
Well, I think there are some people, in fact, I've heard this before, I don't know how true it is, but there was a young lady who said that before she got involved with someone that she would get a private investigator and get into this person's background and know about their credit score and all this before she even got involved with the person, you know, similar to the way it is with a job or something. You know, I don't know that a person should go to all that detail unless you have a lot to lose, and in that case, I suppose that would be okay as well.
And this person who said that, did they have a lot of assets?
Well, I think this person had quite a few assets, yeah. But I mean, like I said, you know, then again, that same thing could be used against a person as well. You know, I mean, the thing is I know even with the celebrities and the people who have earning power, they tend to get with people with similar abilities, you know, to earn. Because if you get with someone and there's a huge imbalance between the have and the have not in that relationship, then, like I said, the person who doesn't have kind of loses their veto power. And they pretty much like go along with the program, which can be, I think that can be pretty difficult to deal with as well. I mean, so I guess it's cool to kind of get, in some cases, to get with somebody who, you know, who has similar financial background as you.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask 815. What is your opinion on that subject?
Oh, hello, Diamond.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Now, here's the thing. When my wife, we have been divorced so many years, it's ridiculous now, but we didn't end up by going our separate ways because of economics. It had nothing to do with the money. Now, what had happened, like when we got married, I was already established. I was not by no stretch of the imagination rich or anything like that, but I had established credit. I had a checking and a savings account that were in a continuous state of growth. I had made a couple of small investments that were growing. Okay. Now, what had happened, I guess one might say we handle our finances really like the old-fashioned way. Now, she was working. I never knew how much she made or what she did with her money. And she never really inquired as to what I was doing with the money that I was bringing in. Now, what I did, I had credit open for her. And, we had the usual department stores. We had Carson's, Fields, Ward's, and Sears. And says, okay, so anything you want to go eat. If you want to get something for the house, less than two years after we were married, we were buying a home. Okay, now she had a car, I had a car. We didn't have new cars, but they were not in the shop every other month, so they must have been in some kind of halfway decent shape. Now, what was happening was that, like I said, everybody's working, and all the bills, I paid all the bills. The only thing she paid for, we had one child, the only thing she paid was a phone bill and daycare for our daughter. Everything else, I paid. And she never abused my credit. It's one thing I can definitely say for her. She never abused my credit. And matter of fact, when the bills would come in, she wouldn't even open them. She would take them and put them on that chest of drawers And I would come in, oh, here's a bill from Warwick. I would get my checkbook out, and I would pay the bill. I paid the lights, I paid the mortgage, I paid everything. Her car was her car to take care of. We never put money together.
Okay.
And economically, I would say our relationship was as sound as the U.S. economy was under Bill Clinton.
Oh, well, then that was great.
Yeah, Bill had us in. We were solid as a rock. Well, this is what was going on with the economics of the way we worked it. And the thing being, her savings were her savings. My savings were mine. As far as the business of the marriage is concerned, the economics of the marriage, hey, that was taken care of. And it was never a question of, say, like, well, who's going to do this and why are they going to do it? It just was done. I just did it.
Well, that was great. I mean, and it sounds like that was a great situation, at least financially. Economically, you all handled your finances and the relationship the correct way, and everything balanced out.
Yeah,
Let me take one second.
We never ended up in hock with anything. We never ended up behind with anything. Any repairs that need to be made on the house or anything like that. If she had trouble with her car, she had money from her job, she got her car, she kept her car up. I have trouble with my vehicle, hey, I kept it up. And it was never a thing of saying, well, hey, look, I'm short, so I need this. Oh, you can't take money out of that account. Oh, no, that never happened. But, you see, I look at a thing like this. If you, anytime two people get together, you're going to have trouble with the economics of the situation, but the simple reason is this. One person, party number one, has their method of saving and their method of spending. Party number two has their method of saving and their method of spending. Who is to say that those two methods are going to blend?
No, that is true.
Yeah, so I think, in my opinion, you have to be very careful as to who you team your money up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is definitely true. Now, we need to go to our next question that was posed by email from our audience member last week. And if you just joined us, before I say the question, if you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. This is Mosaic Monday, and it's all about the audience choice. On-time solutions from A to Z, real talk, no holds barred. Now, this question may get some people a little hot under the collar and others would be okay with it, but I'm going to put it out there anyway, and I would like to know your honest opinion about this situation. And the phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343 if you'd like to join us live. Or you can join us in the chat room, and I will read your question and or comments over the air, as well as Twitter at Secure Your Life or Facebook at Secure Your Life. Same thing, same rule. I'll take your question and or comment and read them over the air so that we can have those things done live. Now, here's a question. Our audience member emailed me, and they wanted to know, do you think it is right or wrong for the government to subsidize Planned Parenthood, or should we continue to subsidize those unwanted children who end up being abused or whatever and end up in the system where they're now being jailed for whatever reason? Should the government continue to subsidize the penal system by continuing to house these felons or, you know, people who break the law, or should we not? So there's two questions. One, should the government subsidize Planned Parenthood? And the other question is, should the government continue to subsidize people who are in the penal system? So I'm going to take the phone call. Again, the phone number is area code 347-884-9343. That is area code 347-884-9343. I'm going to start with area code 773-988. What are your views on that? Should we subsidize Planned Parenthood?
Well, I think Planned Parenthood is I don't think you can let the population just go in any direction that it wants to without some kind of dampers or controls, because things can truly get out of hand rather quickly. And the only way we can change that is through education. And unfortunately, some people get pregnant by circumstances that are unfavorable. The conditions may be unfavorable. And I just believe that children should come up in a loving home and not in abusive situations or situations where the parents absolutely have no business with children. Because everybody is not equipped to be a parent and to lead children into a comfortable and productive life. There's a lot of abuse going on, and that's creating kids who actually will feed the penal system. Number two, the penal system, and I hate to be conservative about this, but I don't think the government has any choice but to support the penal system, because if you privatize it, then, to the degree where it was a totally privatized situation, we'd have to have so many controls in place that the privatized inmates would have to be treated in such a way. I mean, I've seen all kind of horror stories on movies where, you know, the inmates have lost their rights to a group or a company or some individual, and they were treated very unfairly, murdered, forced into labor, all kind of things. So we have to kind of watch privatizing the penal system, and we may have to keep that public so there is some form of scrutiny, some form of recourse for the relatives of the people who are locked up or incarcerated.
Okay, I'm going to go to the next caller, 708-715. What are your views on our question?
Hello, Diamond.
Hi.
With Planned Parenthood, I believe definitely it is something that we need to continue to subsidize with our dollars. So many kids only get their awareness through programs such as Planned Parenthood. Their parents aren't informing them, nor are they getting information that is worthwhile from anybody in their circle of friends. So most definitely it's something that's worthwhile. It would be very nice to have concerned parents and family and friends that were able to give information that's of value that will allow them to make wise choices where they wouldn't need Planned Parenthood, but I don't. That's not currently something that I see happening.
Right, I agree.
When we look at the penal system, it is definitely a highly privatized system. It's something that the government does support, and our dollars do go towards it, but for the most part, it is a private industry. And it's something that, it's a machine that continues to consume a large number of people simply because of it being a private industry where they need to have people there.
Exactly.
So a lot of the laws that are in place right now are to support those systems of generating that money. So
yeah,
the government,
I definitely agree.
The government part in that, what we need to do is have a better legal system that will stop the corruption that allows people to be incarcerated. The laws and the people who are putting the laws in place, we need to be able to have our voices heard a little better than what's happening right now.
I agree. I think that too often, one, like you said, the biggest problem with the penal system is what's happening with the laws in the book to get these people incarcerated. There's no way in the world of one person can commit the same exact crime as far as even talking about drugs. You have one person that may have crack cocaine and then someone who actually has just the regular powder cocaine, and they're same crime, but for distribution of use, for sale, and they will definitely get two different types of sentencing.
Well, is that because of just the substance, or does it also include the racial issues? I mean, if you had a, and what I'm asking is, if a black person was distributing crack cocaine, or if he was distributing regular cocaine, would he get a lesser sentence for one or the other? I mean, I know the reason why they do it is because, for the most part, it's non-blacks, mainly whites, who use cocaine. But what if there's an instance where you find a black person who's distributing cocaine? Would they get a lesser sentence?
No.
No.
That is a good question. I don't know.
No. It's actually, they
don't
get
think
the
so
added.
Either.
I mean, I don't think so. Reason, because both
they're black.
Are the same thing. They're both being caused for crack cocaine, which is a lot stronger. Two, but then my question would be after that is, are they being charged for distribution? Because you can have one, he's not a distributor. He's selling. That's all he does. But then the distributor is one step up from a seller. So his sentence is going to be harsher.
Okay. So you think it's? Do you think it's fair? In other words, I'm saying, do you think that the drug industry has a racist
fate? Because they're both with the same. You're killing other human beings. Bottom line, I don't care whether you're selling it, distributing it, or otherwise. All sentences should be the same for that particular crime.
Okay, 708, you were getting ready to make a comment. What was that?
I was going to help you guys out with the idea that crack and cocaine are considered to be two different things, even though they're made from the same substance. If you have crack cocaine to sell or on your possession, you're going to get more time than if you had regular cocaine, be you white or black.
Okay.
Yeah, so... But,
and why
the problem, but the problem that occurs is that you're going to have more blacks having crack. That's the problem that occurs. And as you did say that whites use cocaine primarily as opposed to crack cocaine, which I don't know what the numbers are to that right now, but it's supposed that that's the case. And since they target and say that that's a harsher drug, a drug that's going to get you addicted much more quickly, they give it a harsher sentence. And why they do it, and that's why they do it, because they say that it's something that's going to make the person more addicted. So they therefore it needs to have a heavier sentence.
Okay.
Say Diamond?
Yes.
I think what's happening with it is that I have no way of proving this, but I do believe you're more prone to find blacks distributing crack cocaine more so than the powder.
Well, it's less expensive, for one thing.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because it's cheaper to produce in the whole shot. So it's much readily. So a lot of this has to do with racism, and that's totally ridiculous to come up and say, well, okay, we're going to, this is less potent than that, so we're going to give you less time. It should be, like you were saying, it should be across the board. Distributing is distributing. If they give you 20 years for distributing, it should be 20 years for distributing all of it.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is.
Well, and we have to also remember that the issue of supply and demand. The suppliers are actually the ones who are putting it into our neighborhoods and who are actually deciding who gets cocaine and who gets crack. And secondly, who puts the price on the value of one over the other? Who decides that cocaine is more valuable and should cost more and is a better quality of substance than crack cocaine? I mean, crack cocaine even sounds scarier, But I'm just saying, you know, who makes those decisions and those calls to put the prices on it? Of course, the distributors do so. They're the ones. They're the ones who decide what neighborhoods that these products go into.
It's what the seller had to pay for, because he's got to get a profit. If I'm selling it to him, to the seller, for $5 million, that's how much he's paying me.
I'm straight with the person that I got it from.
And I made my profit. It's up to him to make his profit. That's not my problem.
Go
ahead. What's your question, 815?
Do they make crack? Okay, does crack cocaine come from cocaine itself or what?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so,
but it's other stuff in it.
Okay. Oh, crack cocaine is a mixture of cocaine and baby powder and baking soda and lighter fluid and anything else in there that's weird.
Yeah, that's why they call it crack.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Okay, now. So what's happening? You end up with a more potent situation. But say diamond.
Yes.
Like you were saying about this thing with child. Okay, with Planned Parenthood. With the government funding Planned Parenthood. Would that be part of sex education, abortion clinics, the whole shot?
The whole shot. They actually have a lot of services that they provide.
Mm-hmm.
Not just abortion. They actually provide a lot of services, a lot of education that these, you know, that people are not getting anywhere else. So
The government,
their services
definitely
are very important, except for, you know, a lot of people only want to focus on one aspect of the service that they provide.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was happening, okay, I remember when they first started this big, with the big to-do over sex education in the schools. They were saying, oh, well, the parents should talk to their children about that. Most parents don't talk to their children because they don't know anything.
Exactly.
The only thing they know is don't. And they tell the girls don't, but they get a boy the pat on the head. Now, you have got to be joking. And something else they... Hello?
Oh, we're here.
Yeah.
Okay, something else they failed to realize. You have a very large number of sexually active 11 and 12-year-old girls.
9 and 10.
Probably younger than that.
No. Check this out. Here's a killing problem. When I'm saying about 11 and 12, you know who these 11 and 12-year-old girls are having sex with?
Older men.
No. They're having sex with boys. They're 11 and 12. They're having sex with boys 9, 10, 11, and 12. That's who they're having sex with.
Well, that's true.
They aren't having sex with men or older boys. They have, and so, and here's the thing. These 11 and 12-year-old girls are getting the boys. They're dragging the boys on the porch and in the bed and whatever.
Ooh, that's true.
It is not the boys that are grabbing these young girls. It's the girls that are grabbing these boys, and they're getting the boys that are the same age as they and younger than they are. They're starting their sex life at 10, 11, 12 years old.
And that's very true.
Right. And so this is the thing. Now, in most cases, they're not going to get pregnant, but by the time they come of age where they can get pregnant, they've been sexually active for a number of years.
And to be honest with you,
that is a problem.
When a kid becomes sexually active, they no longer have the same capacity to study and focus on academia. Their sex becomes a driving force, and it gets stronger as they come into puberty, and it can actually dominate their entire life after that point. That's why it's something that needs to be kind of addressed in terms of trying to keep it under control until the kid gets out of grammar school and maybe graduates from high school.
Yeah, well, this is where the education would come in. But you see, the thing being, these idiot people that want to come up and they'll say, first of all, most of the people that are against sex education, they don't want anybody to know anything. They don't want anybody. They don't want anybody to know anything because they've got the stupid idea that ignorance is bliss. You know, they've got the idea. Well, if these young people know about sex, if they're being given condoms, they're going to be out having sex. The truth of the matter is, they don't want anybody having sex.
Yeah.
The truth is, the more education that these people have, it equips them with being able to be armed with making choices, and they
right.
can actually make better choices. And a lot of them, once they're given all of the information, will probably choose either abstain, or they will definitely make sure that they are having protected sex because
right.
they know the risk. They understand
right.
the risk factor.
Right. They're dealing with a thing of hate. They'll be dealing with a thing of hate. No glove, no love. Let's get
and
it on.
Another issue that people don't realize is that these kids are being bombarded with sexual images actually from television, from commercials, from movies. I mean, they're just bombarded with sexual images from an early age. So, I mean, the sex education is necessary because I think in most of the cases, society is already preparing them for sex even before they're ready. I mean, as young kids. I mean, how many times are young kids exposed to very uncomfortable scenes on movies and that kind of thing? And how many parents actually watch every movie and every television program that their child watches? What about those posters that you see with scantily dressed women and guys, you know, in their briefs and in undershorts? I mean, it's just so many ways that kids are bombarded with this.
In my opinion, I don't think that has so much effect on the kids. I think the violence has an effect on them. The fact of, hey, let's say face the fact of what are you really seeing when you see people on TV or in the movie? They're making suggestive statements. They're making suggestive moves. But it's one of those things, hey, if you aren't mature enough to pick up on it, it's gonna fly right by you. And as far as say seeing a poster of a Victoria's Secret poster, we'll say most young boys and girls are not gonna pay that much attention to that, but they'll pay much attention to Freddie stabbing somebody with an axe.
Well, when Freddie stabbed the girl, she didn't have on any clothes, and she was scantily dressed.
Right,
as well.
And actually, they are picking up all of that.
Right, but
violence.
It's more so the violence thing than it is the sex of it. The thing being is that I do not believe that, seeing naked bodies on TV, in which there really aren't any really naked bodies on TV. You see violence on TV, scads and scads of it. People are forever getting murdered or maimed or whatever on TV. You don't see that much, say, as far as sex is concerned. They're just making suggestions of it. And if the kid is not mature, anybody, in my opinion, anybody that is old enough to pick up on the suggestions that the TV is making about sex and sexuality, they know better. As far as the little minds that might be corrupted by it, it flies over their head. But that violence is right in your face.
Well,
that violence is right in your face.
It might seem to fly over their heads, but the mind is a very infinite storage unit, and all those things that have flown over that kid's head, as soon as a little kid that's a little bit older who has been corrupted actually attempts to corrupt that kid, all of those images come right back to the front of their memory.
Yeah,
so
the violence. Yeah, but as far as say seeing a nude body really don't have that much effect. I do not believe that has that much effect.
I don't think anything's wrong with a nude body, but if you got two girls kissing each other, or you got a man on top of this woman and they're in this kind of sexually seductive scene and these kids are watching this kind of stuff, I mean, it's not violence, but it does leave an imprint.
Yeah,
so if somebody gets on top of them or something, all these things come back into their into the front of their mind. So I just think we're affected by everything that we see.
Oh, now I would agree with that to some degree, but I do not believe that this, because most of the time, if you see something, if you see in most cases on TV, if you see a couple supposedly having sex, they're under some sheets.
Not in these new movies.
I'm talking about on TV.
Hold on a second. I want to know what channel you watch. You watch Leave It to Beaver. You watch TV.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, okay. I'm just saying, like on your regular TV,
regular
not on
TV,
cable. So you about to
you
watch anything on cable? But I'm just
on regular prime time television. You see more than you used to be able to see.
Oh yeah,
and
now
the point,
that is true.
The point is, just like you made reference of these young kids being exposed to sex early, that's where that starts. It's not
exactly.
the girl is not grabbing the little boy and going underneath the porch because it just popped in her head to do so.
No,
it's
she's
the
seen
fact
it.
She's
okay.
seen that.
Okay.
So therefore,
well, this has been going on way before TV. This has been going
well,
on, this 11- and 12-year-old girls grabbing the young boys and taking them onto the porch. This has been going on way before TV and movies.
That's true.
And so the thing being, this popped in from the head, from home.
Exactly.
H-O-M-E. That's where it comes from, home, not TV and movies. It's coming from home.
Well, I think we got a point here is that, you know, a lot of the ideas that people get, now they're getting them from electronic media, but a lot of it actually does start in the home.
I would definitely say it's a combination of things.
Television
is just what it is. It's a programming device.
Exactly.
It programs the way that people think. And, you know, just as sex education class is important, also understanding media is important.
Exactly my point.
So many people discount the fact that the things that you take in through your eyes and your ears are not affecting your subconscious, and they really are.
But, okay, I can give you an example of, say, like things, kids doing things that they witness their parents or some relative or somebody actually performing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. A very good friend of mine was babysitting her nephews. And this little boy, I think he was about 4. Yeah, I think he's about 3 or 4. And he had one of these little Jeeps that like the little battery powered Jeep. So his sister had this big rag doll. So his little sister was asleep. So he's still out running around. So he took the doll. And he's got the doll, and he's riding around in his Jeep with the doll. So he parks the Jeep, gets out of the Jeep. Now, my friend told me about this. He parks the Jeep, gets out of the Jeep, takes his shirt off, puts it on the floor next to the Jeep, lays just the doll down, put her on there, and gets on top of the doll, and he's grinding on the doll.
Okay.
Now, my friend told me, she says, hey, I'm going to talk to my sister. That was her sister's child. She says, I'm going to talk to her. I said, what have you been letting your child see? Now, where did he get that from? Now, you know, darn good, he didn't get that from TV or cable. Now, let's get that together. That's right from home.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe at one time you couldn't, but you can easily get that in the cable.
He could get that off of TV now.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we had a wonderful show. We have actually run out of time.
Oh boy,
and
sure did.
We need to keep this going, this conversation going, and we are on every night at 10. So tomorrow is Tough Talk Tuesday. Again, it's time for you to get your rant and rave on. So you can definitely join us every week night at 10 o'clock. So tomorrow, like I said, is Tough Talk Tuesday. You get a chance to get your rant and rave on about whatever has gotten your panties in a bunch or your knickers in a knot. We want to hear about it. So join me tomorrow, and I'm going to say good night to all of you all, and thanks.
Good night,
so,
dear.
Yeah, good night,
good
Diamond.
Good night. Good night.